Love that. We're on our fourth session on hoofbeats on the horizon. And you can almost hear them. You can watch the events on television, read newspaper, magazine, whatever. You can see what's going on, and you can almost hear those horse hooves hitting the ground in the distance on the horizon. I think we're that close. And we've looked at the four horsemen, or three of the horsemen of the apocalypse. And today we're going to do the fourth. So in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, we read, "I watched as the Lamb opened the first seal of seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, 'Come.' And I looked, and before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come.' Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. The rider was given power to take peace from the earth and make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' I looked, and before me was a black horse, and the rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like the voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine.' When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider's name was Death, and hell was following close behind him. They were given power over one-fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth." This sixth chapter of the book of Revelation is a shock to the senses. You read those first five chapters, you see scenes in the churches, you see scenes in heaven, starting with chapter 4 and chapter 5. You hear the worship, and you see the angels and the seraphims. All of it is beautiful. And then suddenly we burst upon this sixth chapter. It's scenes of suffering and pain. You have to remember, it's judgment time. Starting with this sixth chapter, there is judgment and wrath. It's the judgment of God and the wrath of God that's being poured out upon the earth. They have totally rejected God. Everything godly has been taken from the earth. The rapture of the church has already taken place. Right at the end of the third chapter, the beginning of the fourth chapter, the heavenly places are filled by the saints of God. All heaven is resounding with worship and praise. But on earth, there are scenes of pain and judgment and and tribulation. Jeremiah wrote about it. Daniel wrote about it. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 24. Those last days. And I believe that we're right on the last days. Paul wrote what was going to be taking place. I don't have time to read all the scriptures. What's going to be taking place in those last days. The attitude of people, the makeup of those people. Let me just quickly run through them. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Have nothing to do with such people. Right now we see just a smidgen of that in reality. We look across this world and we see more and more and more this kind of character stepping forth. But it's nothing like it's going to be. Once the church is taken away, once that pervasive restraining hand of the Holy Spirit is taken up, it's going to be a time of all hell breaking loose on earth. Satan is going to be given free rein. The Antichrist is going to step to the forefront. And it's going to be a time like we've never seen before. A scary time. A time that I want to make sure that I'm not around for. I'm going into first load. If any of y'all want to be mid-trib, wait for the second load, that's fine. I'm going into first. If you want to be post-trib and wait till the end of the tribulation for the rapture, that's fine too. You can go in the third load. I'm going in the first load. Says unless he who is the restraining is not removed, then the man of sin cannot come. So I believe the church, filled with the Holy Spirit, has to be taken out of the way. That will be the end of the church age. And that's where I want to start. This morning, the church age, the Laodicean age, that was the last church in the third chapter of Revelation that Jesus walked through. Our present dispensation is that Laodicean dispensation. So the church age on the earth ends, closes with the Lord Jesus very unhappy with all that publicly bear the name Christian. Notice that I said that bears the name Christian. Jesus talked about that time. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. And you remember that God looked all through the earth and he only found eight that could be saved. And there was a deluge of the flood that came and every animal except those that were in the ark, every person except those that were in the ark was extinguished. Noah and his family and two of every kind of animal on the earth were saved. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot. And you remember that story. When the angels walked through Sodom and Gomorrah, two very large cities of that day, and they only found three that was righteous. Well, there was four. Lot and his wife and his two daughters. And they urged them, get out of the city because judgment is coming on the city. And they took them out. And remember Lot's wife, because she turned around. And with a yearning in her heart, she looked at what was as it was being destroyed. And she turned into a pillar of salt. And out of those two very large cities, only three were saved. So it will be when Jesus comes. The question is asked in the Gospels, will Jesus find faith on the earth when he comes? I hope the answer is yes. But he is saying to the Laodicean church, because they're neither hot nor cold, that he will spew them out of his mouth. So the church age comes to an end with a visible cold church being spewed from his mouth. And the saints, his bride, is gathered out in rapture. Those two scenes going on almost at the same time. Those saints who have died will be raised. And together with the saints that are living at that particular time, they'll be caught up together to meet Jesus in the air. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians. So the position of Jesus today, he is walking in the midst of his churches. We're at the end of the third chapter of Revelation, it seems. The church will soon be caught away. Chapter 4 begins with scenes in heaven. And the 24 elders that surround the throne, and they've got thrones around God's throne, and those elders are clothed in white raiment, and they've got crowns of gold upon their head. Didn't Jesus say that he would give us crowns of gold? Didn't he say that we would be pulling off these old filthy rags of the flesh and putting on the white raiment of heaven? There we see it in the 24 elders. I believe that they represent the redeemed in heaven. You and I have been redeemed when we've surrendered our heart and life to Jesus and he's forgiven our sins. We're redeemed from that life of sin and given a life of hope. So at the beginning of chapter 4, the church is in heaven. In chapter 19, verse 11, it shows the church, the redeemed, the bride of Christ, the saints, on white horses riding back with Jesus in the lead. The seals, the trumpets, the bowls, the judgments, the tribulation, they all take place while the church is in heaven. We're there before it begins. And we're there when it comes to an end. So all the tribulation, all that is 7 years, happens between Revelation 4:4 and Revelation 19:4. The redeemed in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Chapter 6 begins the prophetic part of Revelation. Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation. So we look at the fourth seal that's about to be broken. Verses 7 and 8 says, "When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its riders were named Death and Hades. Followed." It really connotates he floated along with him. So hell was right there with death. They were given power over 1/4 of the earth to kill by sword, famine, plague, and wild beast of the earth. So that fourth power is summoned. The judgments are increasing in severity. The fourth horse is said to be pale in color. That word pale comes from the Greek word where we interpret it as chlorophyll or chlorine. We get our words chlorophyll and chlorine from that Greek word. It means green. It refers to that sickly yellow-green pallor of a corpse. So the horse is the color of a corpse. And he who rides upon the horse is called Death. The events that take place in the wake of this horse and rider are similar to things that happen and follow during time of war. However, these events seem to take place independently of the first three horses. In the preceding seals, in those first three seals, the riders are named, or not named. But these two riders are named because they're not as easily recognized as those first three. These two riders are a clear portrait of the pathway or the course of a world that's being derived of its protecting, saving Lord. That they've rejected, and he's withdrawn his hand. Just imagine the horrors that John, the Revelator, must have beheld as he saw prophetically the ravages of the war and the hunger and the pestilence that was taking place. We're told that the rider of this pale horse is Death. And we're also told that hell follows or floats along with him. The word death here speaks of the death of the body. The word hell here reminds us that there's a terrible place waiting to gather the souls of lost men when they're taken by death. So they work as this odd, horrible pair. Death takes the body, but then hell takes the soul immediately. These two, death and hell, will be the custodians of those bodies and souls, those men and women and children that have been butchered during these terrible days. They will be held in restraints by these custodians of the damned. At the close of 1,000 years, after Jesus has reigned upon the earth for the millennium, death and hell will give up their prisoners, and they themselves will be thrown into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 20:14. Again, we're reminded of the fact that these judgments, and these are judgments, it is wrath. The age, the dispensation of grace is gone. There's no grace and there's no mercy. There's judgment and there's wrath. After that, Jesus reigns for 1,000 years. And he reigns with a rod of iron, it says. He's not playing games. He's not that babe in Bethlehem. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, only begotten Son of God. And he rules the judgments have been poured out in sequence, in character, in duration, in severity, with their source in the throne of the eternal, all-powerful God. Because authority was given to death. Did you hear that? It says they were given power over a fourth of the earth. Who gave the authority to death and hell? God. The authority to kill and to destroy was not death's or hell's to carry out. It had to be given to them. And God granted them the power, the authority. During the Great Tribulation, death will ride unbridled. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. If those days had not been shortened, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. The sword, the famine, the pestilence, and the wild beast will decimate the earth by one-fourth. Let that sink in. That's something that God said would come as he was speaking through his prophet, Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 14:21. It says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says. How much worse will it be when I send against Jerusalem my four dreadful judgments, sword and famine and wild beast and plague, to kill its men and their animals. So the breath of this devastation, that's point A. We're told that death will have the power over one quarter of the earth. We're not sure if that means population or mass. It could be land mass or it could be population. If it's land mass, one quarter of the earth, then one fourth of the globe will be decimated by terrible plagues. If it's population, as I believe it is, I believe that he's talking about population because he is death. It means that one fourth of the people are taken. That's one out of every four living people in those days. If today's population of 6 billion people is considered, then you're talking about 1.25 billion people dying in a very short period of time. It's a picture of a desolated earth because of man's hatred, barbarity, and sin, and rejection of God. That 1.25 or 1.25 billion people die in a matter of months. Where are you going to bury that many people? How are you going to take care of the dead? There's a brutality of this devastation. Point B. The methods of death will be used to claim this great number of people. They're listed in this verse. There's four methods that are mentioned. First, we have the sword. This may refer to warfare, but there's something more than warfare. Murder. And that's part of the intention. Individual assaults upon one another. It's people taking the law into their own hands and murdering people without regard to justice or law. With murder comes famine and widespread starvation. And all of that is hitting during this time. It's already been, but now it's being heaped on top of what already has taken place. There could be nuclear weapons brought to bear. There can be little doubt that country after country will use biological and chemical weapons. The numbers that will die in these wars are mind-boggling and astronomical. Rightfully so, right on the heels of this barbarity is famine. Now, we've already talked about the problem of starvation when it hits worldwide. You can go to last week's presentation. Many millions will meet their death, the horrible death of starvation, the slow killer. And that leaves death. That refers to death that is apart from warfare or famine or murder. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, in the New King James Version, for a nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginnings of sorrows. The word pestilence that Jesus uses, I believe, is this word death. And it's what death is referring to. Pestilence brings to mind diseases that will run rampant through the human race during this period of time. Diseases will leave millions dead in their wake. John G. Hall writes this, and I quote, "We may think something like this can never happen, but if you'll think back to the Spanish influenza outbreak during World War I, 25 million people died with the flu in this world without overnight or inconvenient air travel at all, or intercontinental air travel. Three times more people died of the flu during World War I than actually died in the battles. An outbreak of that sort in our world has the potential of killing hundreds of millions of people in just a few weeks. An outbreak like that would shut down society as we know it and would bring millions to a place of starvation." He wrote that in the early 60s. Kind of reminds you of something, doesn't it? What we're experiencing now. The next weapon that was used was beast. Animals attack. They will account for many deaths. The word beast can refer to large animals, ferocious animals, or small animals like rodents, rats. Rats give me the willies. I mean, I liked the movie Ratatouille, where the rat did the cooking, but I don't like them in my house or anywhere around it. The Bible doesn't specify what it speaks of, but it might be referring to something like the lowly little rat or mouse. Let me just look at this for a second, if you would, as a possibility. With all the warfare and the death and the carnage, the rat population of this world would probably explode. It usually does. One breeding pair can produce 5 litters of between 8 and 9 offspring per year. So 2 rats can become 40 to 50 rats in 1 year. Rats are nasty animals. They are known to carry at least 35 known diseases. They are responsible for killing 1/3 of the population of Europe during the Middle Ages as the bubonic plague ravaged that nation. Rats alone destroy some $1 billion in food supplies in the United States every year. Could be a possibility, but only a possibility. We have seen the riding of the 4 horsemen. They have followed the exact pattern that Jesus gave in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, 4 through 8. I read, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And the white horse rides out. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And the red horse gallops off. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. The black horse rides forth, and there will be pestilences, and the pale horse is hot on his heels, and earthquakes in various places. And these are just the beginning of sorrows. This is the opening of the great tribulation. We've covered these four horsemen as they ride out. We have read what Jesus has to say about it. We've looked at the possibilities. We know that it's coming because it's prophecy in the Word. And the Word is true. When I read these things, there's two thoughts that come crashing into my mind. First, I begin to praise God that I'm saved by His grace. And I don't have to worry about these things because I'm going to be taken out. I know that none of these things, no matter how bad they are, will attack me before Jesus comes. We're already seeing the very beginnings of some of these things in our world today. And I praise the Lord that I'm leaving here before the bottom falls out and the horses begin to ride. But there's a second thought that comes crashing in right on the heel of that, and my heart is heavy. And it grieves for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. My family and my friends and my acquaintances, the people who come in and out of these buildings that are lost. My lost neighbors and people I meet every day who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Those that are going to be left behind to face these things. All they have to look forward to is a life of pain and misery here and in eternity in hell. And it breaks my heart. So here's my invitation that I offer to you that are sitting here, those of you who are watching online, those who may see it in the future, maybe even years from now. Here's my invitation. If you are not saved, please come to Jesus and look to Him for salvation. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to be your Lord, your Savior, to come into your heart and to take the sin away. If you are hearing my voice and you're away from God, maybe you used to know Him, maybe you used to serve Him, but you've walked away, My invitation, my plea is, please come back. Come back to Him so that He can use your life as a light for His glory. If you have people on your heart that need to be saved, bring them to Jesus. Introduce them to Him and introduce Him to them. And pray for their souls every day. I don't want to see a single man, woman, or child face the things that we've covered over the last 4 weeks. And if you'll get in a quiet place and think about the events that are taking place every day, that get news coverage on our nation's channels, you listen very carefully, you can hear the sound of approaching hoofbeats. The time is upon us that I have tried to describe. It's coming. And I close with this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Bow your heads with me, would you please?